Welcome in, listeners, to another episode of the Busby Babe podcast. I am
haven't done a jingle in a long time, dude.
I know. I wasn't sure if you were going to do it or not.
I had to think, and I was just like, you just got to come into it.
Yeah. This is another classic Matt and Colin episode.
Yeah, brother.
I had to get Matt on to discuss the end of the season, and we're going to talk a little bit about some transfer rumors and what we think are some players that are expendable in the Manchester United squad. So, yeah, Matt, I guess I'll give you the floor. You haven't really had a chance to talk about the end of this season since, I guess, we talked about the death of the Super League.
Okay, so I don't really want to talk about the Europa League because I don't really care. It happened, whatever. But I mean, I can't really complain with where we ended up because of the points we dropped, and that's why, like, when you win the trophy, that's why you win the trophy, right? So I mean, I think we're getting better, but I think some people were really hopeful, and I think for a while, like, I mean, for a while I thought we were in there. We could talk about it, I feel like, and it wasn't crazy, which was, like, cool. Hadn't been a couple years since that happened, or more than a couple. But, I mean, I feel better about the team. I feel better about how we're playing, I would say, in general. Like, I do feel like we're improving, but it's coming to the next year, and it's like, what's going to happen? With transfers, if we get transfers and everything goes great, I think this is the year that Ollie has to do something. I will say that. But I really think we did better than I think a lot of people expected us to. I'll say that. But still drop stupid points. Like, still can't defend set pieces, you know, things like that. I still think we need, you know, I'm real focused on you know, it's hard because I always want to be excited about the transfer window, but I'm like Lindelof's cool and all. We could talk about it all day, but you know, that's why we're talking about some center backs. You know, like we need to be able to defend set pieces. I feel like there's some chinks in our armor that we could really get better. Like, I don't think that we would be like like in any situation, I don't think there's any way we're the favorite, right? Like no way. But like okay, best case scenario, if we want to go into it, like, even if we get, you know, all these marquee signings, you know, it's not guaranteed they'll all vibe and everything. So I mean, I hope that, because like I am worried about players that didn't get playing time this last year a little bit, like Donnie, and so I'm kind of curious, kind of talking about both the end of the season and the transfer window, is like, I don't know if there's players that they didn't get time that are going to want to go, which makes me sad. Like, I don't know if that is true or if it's just talk. I think it's just talk for now, but I think we need to retain mostly everybody that we had. I think, I mean, there's still the ones that, like, we got to figure out Jesse's contract or what transfer, whatever, you know, things like that. Some loose ends that could really help us. Dude, if, I forget his name now. Okay. I'm going to have to look it up. I'll come back to it. But man, if I'm going to talk about anybody coming out of the club, it's got to be Phil Jones, right? Like, this guy's got to go. what the hell is this guy still doing here, man?
I was waiting on that one.
What? Yeah. I almost said it in the intro. I just decided not to.
I'm having a hard time thinking whether he played a single game for us this year.
I don't think so. I didn't get the chance to... Go ahead.
Maybe like really early in the League Cup, but that's the only way he would have.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that he had to have gotten a game in somewhere. But man, like, golly, dude.
Yeah.
Gotta go, dude. Got to go. Man, I'm not. I'm kind of weird about some players. Like, I know some people in the Twitterverse love to talk about Fred wanting to go because he's doing well for Brazil. Of course, like when tournaments happen, these things happen. Like, and
Right,
it's
the
not on the
international
front.
break.
Yeah, exactly. It's not front page news or anything because Sancho's going on and all these other things are going on everywhere else. But like there's talk, and I mean, like, see, like I think that what people lose focus on is the fact that Fred is a good player for what he is, and in the Carabao Cup. Like, I would love Fred to play, like those kinds of games. Like, we have to build the squad. Everybody's so concerned about the starting 11 that you forget that we need bench and we because it's a long season. So, guys like this, the role players, like, and I mean, I also think Scott McTominay is just straight up playing out of role, but in this, we can go all day about these guys. But I guess I want to ask you, Colin, or what positions do you want us to sign people in? Because I could go all day about that, but I think it's three crucial, and like four would be like, I mean, I think we'll get more than like we could get like a youth signing here or there, whatever, cool. But like, like four big signings.
Yeah.
Well, like, well,
That
like,
was
not big.
kind
I'm
of
not
the
talking about
way.
all of them,
Yeah.
like Jadon Sancho and Varane. Like Jadon Sancho,
Okay,
Varane, and then some,
that's
like,
not happening.
yeah, no. And then some, like, and then some fill in the gap guys. Maybe a Trippier to like challenge Wan-Bissaka. Maybe, like I could, or maybe a Declan Rice. Like that's like almost my list. But.
Yeah, that was so the Guardian reported like right after the Europa League final. I'm sure you got the Bleacher Report update about it as well. That was like Jadon Sancho, Harry Kane, Declan Rice, and Pau Torres are like on the list that Ole turned in, with some other names as like fill-ins, because there's no way the club can afford all four of those players this summer. And with news today,
I
as
also
we're
think that Varane's going to be cheaper than Torres, and I kind of would like Varane's experience more than Torres. Like, how old is
Maybe
Torres?
transfer fee, but wages definitely not, because Rafael Varane
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
making
yeah. That's true.
enormous wages at Real Madrid.
Yeah, that's true.
And he's still, 27. He would want to match that.
Pau Torres is 24.
Yeah.
He's six
I
foot three.
think
He's big. I didn't know he was that big.
Pau Torres is also like a ball playing left-footed center back, which is what Ole was supposedly looking at last season. So I think the guy out of Leipzig who's joining Bayern now was on that list, and then Pau Torres was another one. But I think he fits the profile of somebody that Ole wants playing next to Harry Maguire, who is also a pretty good forward passer. And I think we saw that, in the period that he was injured at the end of the season, that, and even, England in their first couple games, these teams are struggling to push the ball forward out of the back without Harry Maguire. But he's another player who can do that, and he can switch the field. Since he's left-footed, he can turn more comfortably on that side than, if Victor Lindelof or Harry Maguire were in that sort of position. So it's useful to have that. I like Pau Torres. I do think that we should not put all of our eggs in that basket, though, because
No.
since Sergio Ramos is leaving Real Madrid, Pau Torres is also on Real Madrid's list as a center
Yeah,
back to bring
exactly.
in. They brought in David Alaba, but he's also a little bit older. I don't think he's got really injury problems, like major injury problems, but David Alaba, when anyone gets older and they have that many miles on their legs, you kind of have to expect that that's going to happen at some point. And with Varane's future still uncertain, I would expect them to probably try and bring in a second center back this summer as well.
Yeah.
So.
So let me ask you this though. What do you think about the, because this is one of the ideas in the air, is a straight Pogba Varane swap.
Yeah, I hate that.
I don't like it.
I don't think Varane gives us anything near what
Pogba
gives us.
No, I don't think that.
Yeah, I mean, if we're gonna swap Pogba for somebody, it's got to be someone who can fit into midfield, because not only would we have to replace the Pogba hole, there's also a massive defensive midfielder hole that would be.
Also, you're not gonna refill the Pogba hole.
No, exactly.
You're not gonna refill the Pogba hole. Like, as much as people might not like him, like, dude, I tell you what, on his day, he is a hell of a fucking footballer, dude. Like, Paul Pogba is a fantastic footballer on his day. Now, granted, like, I think he was all right this season. I didn't think he was terrible when he was healthy, because I mean, he had some health issues. I don't think he was too bad this season.
Really, since Solskjaer's come in, Pogba has played a couple different roles, and now he's sort of, he's not necessarily.
I don't like the role he's playing.
I mean, he's had to fill a couple different ones since Bruno Fernandes came in, because Bruno is just that good at number 10 that you fit everyone else around him, I think.
Yeah,
100%. And it's going to be like that going forward. But if you can get, you know, that number 6 holding midfielder that can kind of sit deep and do the job that both Fred and McTominay have to be on the pitch together to do, packed into one, then
that we just need that in one player.
Pogba a little bit more. And Pogba's a decent defensive midfielder as well. You know, he's pretty good at winning aerial duels. He doesn't really have a problem tracking back.
I just want him to be able to play his true, like, number 8 role.
Yeah, and I also think that Ollie's the kind of manager who is shown that he is willing to change up things in midfield to try and, you know, get that out of Pogba from different positions. Like, playing him off of the left this year at times was really good. And then at other times, we weren't able to do anything. So I think just addressing that position, going back to what you asked me originally, which I did not answer. Sorry about that. I think that like sort of midfielder position after Jadon Sancho, it should be next on the list. Just because with Scott McTominay and Fred in the squad, and I think they should both stay on the team. I think they're both proven that they're good enough, you know, to be at the very least rotational pieces in this Manchester United team. They're both very good at doing a job for Ollie when he needs it from them, but it's just, you can't rely on them an entire season to be your midfield pivot. You got to bring in other people. And if we bring in somebody who can do their defensive job packed into one with both Bruno and Pogba on the pitch, you know, sky's the limit for this attack, especially if Jadon Sancho is on that right-hand side.
I agree 100%. Because we don't with, and I was thinking this, and I was trying so hard not to interrupt you, and then I remember my point, sorry. Also with Matic not being Matic really anymore.
Yeah,
this is even more like, we need a defensive midfielder specialist, because like, Fred isn't really a 10, he's not an 8, he's not a DM, he's just like that guy you put in the middle of the field to just kind of just wreak havoc.
Yeah, he's
pick up the ball and pass it, and he's done that well enough, but we need someone that can pick it up and take it down themselves. And, you know, like, we need a specialist. We need a defensive midfielder specialist. And since Matic isn't going to be the player he ever was, like he was, then that's another thing to look at, is like, you know, like Matic might stick around. Like, look, a lot of people forget that these older guys, like Mata, like Matic, like, people don't understand like how much value experience has, especially experience as a player. And don't get me wrong, I do think that Mata is on some kind of dumb wages for what he's doing. I do think those guys are still important to have around. Yeah. Because I mean, Michael Carrick was around for forever. Like, you know, like,
yeah, I mean, his very last season at the club, he only played like 20 matches, and I think a couple of those were as a substitute, whereas like 2016-17 he played probably 50, and I think that was the year where everyone realized we would probably need to move on at some point, like in the near future. But I think Matic is well past that point, and Ollie has seen that. Mata is also past that point, but the fact that Mata is in contract talks again now, I think shows how important Ollie thinks he is as just like a squad member in general. And the report, I don't know if it's real or not because no like official news has come out yet about an extension or anything, but the report is that his wages would be halved from what it was. So I think he'd be making 90,000 a week instead of 180,000.
Okay. I feel better.
It would be like a 1+1 sort of deal. And he's also going to be, I think it's going to be a transition into a coaching role. So he would earn his coaching badges while he's doing this in this contract period, which I think is really cool. I think if Juan Mata really loves being at Manchester United this much, that's exactly the kind of deal that he would sign. I mean, he could go to MLS, start every week and still make that kind of money, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
But it seems like the culture change that has been happening under Ollie, which is really, I think, the biggest impact he's had as manager. This seems like a positive sign of that.
Yeah, I would be happy with that. Yeah. Get Jesse Lingard's crazy wages out of here too, dude.
Yeah, I think he's kind of like Lukaku right now with the summer transfer window a couple of years ago, where Lukaku probably could have stayed at Manchester United and done pretty well as the number nine in Ollie's system, but Ollie saw him as somebody who wasn't necessarily a natural fit. You've got Anthony Martial, who works really well with Rashford, who was Ollie knew was going to be a centerpiece of his attack. So you keep Martial, give him the number nine, and you know that Lukaku is a valuable asset that somebody will pay for. And they found somebody who was willing to pay £70 million for him. And that
dude,
is
dude, Ollie is did they like people club feel...
that needed to get rid of some money or needed
yes,
to bring in.
100%. Ollie got rid of those dudes. Dude, Fellaini wasn't, dude, Ollie came in, dude, Fellaini was there for a week, and then my dude yeeted him out of our club, thank God, dude. About time, dude.
Yeah. And
like,
Ollie
wants the things, the Glazers just have to buy the shit. Like, I mean, and you know, I mean, we could have said this about some people, like, but still, I'm glad I don't have to watch that anymore.
Yeah. Football is much more fun now.
So much more fun. Dude.
And let me ask you this, Matt, because this is another with all the Erling Haaland talk and then the Harry Kane talk as well, the number nine position. What do you think about that? Because Anthony Martial had definitely his worst year at Manchester United this past season after having his best.
Yeah.
But I would still chalk a lot of that to injuries, I think.
I do think a lot of what had to do with Martial, and I don't want to blame anything for anything because I don't know this guy. I don't know this person, this individual. He is a person. He goes, all right. Where is it?
Matt has leveled up.
Sorry, that was the wife calling. Sorry. Sorry. Say that again, Colin. What did you ask?
Anthony Martial.
Yes. So I do think that part of all of this is kind of the banter that I don't know if you guys remember that his wife got some threats. And some threatening messages on social media and things like that. And not feeling safe in a place isn't exactly a great thing to feel when you go into work and you're on TV and people are watching you and expect you to perform. Like, we know that Martial has struggled with, like, maybe...
Like, off-field stuff
and mental strength with those things, and I'm not saying that he doesn't have the mental strength. I'm just saying that you can tell that he has struggled with that, and it is really unfortunate that he has. I really hope it doesn't continue. Moving on from that, I think it's strange because I don't know when Ollie put in his transfer list, right? We don't know this. So let's say, hypothetically, Ollie puts in his transfer list before Cavani signs the new deal. Because let's be real, all of us kind of thought that he probably wasn't going to stay. And I guess Ollie maybe convinced him. And I don't know if he thought he would be able to, or he thought maybe he wouldn't be able to, and he had to make a decision because they wanted to know, or what goes on. I don't know how all of this works. We just all have to understand that there's a lot of information that we don't know. So I don't think we sign another striker this year with Cavani as our number nine, because he was pretty good for us this last year. Let's be real.
Yeah, he really, I mean, he was important late, too.
Give him service,
Yeah, I mean, Rashford was playing through an injury, you know, recovering from an injury.
He came in real clutch. Bruno kind of went AWOL.
Yeah, Cavani and Mason Greenwood, too, stepped up. And I think...
Also, these headers...
You could probably put Mason Greenwood in the number nine conversation as well, I think. Where, you know, he's... With Jadon Sancho coming in,
hopefully, Mason
Greenwood's going to be playing as a substitute striker or a rotation striker.
Yes, I agree 100%. So do I think we sign Harry Kane? I mean, because we have the Glazers, maybe. I'm not going to say no. Do I want Harry Kane? No. Would I take Harry Kane? Yeah, I'd take him. Do I want him? No, just because I don't think he fits right now and we could spend that money better elsewhere.
With
Mason Greenwood shifting over, with Marcus Rashford also being able to shift over, with Cavani there, with everybody flowing and moving and whatever, dude. Like, granted, you can always say we need more depth, but Harry Kane's not a guy you need for more depth. Like, I wants to play games, and I don't want to take games. If he takes games away from Cavani, okay. But, like, that's also shitty to Cavani. But also, I mean, we were shitty to Sergio Romero, but that's beside the point. I don't know. So, like,
yeah,
maybe
Sergio
maybe
Romero
that would
wasn't
happen.
Scoring us 20 goals a season.
No, I just feel bad for him. He just sat there, dude. He just sat there. And I don't want Cavani to sit there. You're right. But also, like, having Cavani on the bench sitting there would just, like, ugh. I mean, yeah, sure, depth, okay, cool. But, like, also, like, I mean, if I'm going to be real, Harry Kane gets hurt.
Yep.
A couple times a season, you know, he's got ankle issues. A lot of taller guys, these bigger guys, like when you do so many things with your ankles, but especially the way that Harry Kane, like if you guys watch how Harry Kane, like how he dribbles when he comes in, like how he uses his ankles, like he doesn't, it's not that he's like careless with his ankles, but like the way, like he's susceptible to injuries by the way that he likes to kick the ball. And don't get me wrong, it's a great way to kick the ball because he scores a lot of goals. But I mean, I've watched him, and this is my opinion, might be a hot take, I don't know. But in my opinion, it leaves him susceptible, and he just has bad ankles.
He just does.
He gets a knock here and there.
He's another player who's like done more running recently than you would think that a striker like him would have to do, especially in the Jose Mourinho system where he and Son Heung-min both had to come back and pick up the ball and move it forward. So, I mean, it's shown us that Harry Kane is a brilliant distributor of the ball. I mean, he was...
Yes.
I think he was the best player in the Premier League last season with how many goals and assists he had. I mean, he was Tottenham's offense. But... Yeah, like you said, he gets hurt. He's had a history of that. He's 27, 28 now. This is what I guess the real question I wanted to put to you was, and that I think is, you know, it obviously, I think that it has an obvious answer. Do you take Harry Kane now and spend £100 million, or do you wait a year and until Erling Haaland's release clause kicks in, and you just
this is another make, thing I was going
to
bring
make
up.
Your best pitch to him, you know, this like is, I,
this is what I was
going to
bring up.
PSG, everyone is going to be in for Erling Haaland. It's going to be like LeBron's 2010 free agency. Yeah. Sorry for anyone who doesn't follow American sports, but I mean,
there's going to be like, an ESPN specialty.
Yeah, at like €60 million for Erling Haaland, who has scored like
that's absurd.
Close to a goal a game in his Borussia Dortmund career. Yeah. I mean, that's still like, you know, a decent amount of money to rake in. But if you're Borussia Dortmund, when you make that release clause, you'd probably take a time machine to go back and fix that, because Erling Haaland's worth it. I mean, he's what, 20 years old, and he's already scoring 30 goals a season.
Yeah.
It's nuts how good this It is.
Yeah. So, I mean, Ollie knows him. So let's say United does well this season. He already knows Sancho coming into a team. Like, he knows a lot of these people. It's familiar. I'm just saying, man, like,
yeah, we've
getting Erling Haaland next season to come in as like our real number nine when Cavani leaves is just like a perfect puzzle piece. I think it's just, yeah, it's such a good puzzle piece. Like, he knows Ollie really well. Like, you know, he knows Sancho. Like, it's not gonna, you know, I mean, that's in the future. But that's why I don't take Harry Kane now. Hell yeah. No.
Yeah.
You take that money, that 100 million pounds, you chop it off at the 60 and you put it in the bank and you save for Erling Haaland and you say, all right, one day I'm going to get one of these and you save it. And then the next summer you pull out that jar and guess what, Glazers? There it is. There it is, dude.
That's
why you got 40 million left over, dude.
Yeah. So I think, you know, three players this summer, you beef up your midfield, you get Jadon Sancho in. I think that team should be good enough to win a trophy next season. Maybe probably not the Premier League, but a conversation we've had, Champions League is a knockout tournament too, where random things happen. You know, you got to get lucky as well as be good. You know, we've gone on a few cup runs. It's not out of this world to think that Manchester United could make a Champions League run next year, especially looking at what happened this past season with some of the clubs that made it deep into the tournament. Maybe that's part of our pitch to Haaland next summer, but I think more than anything, you work on that winning mentality of finishing the job, because that's been the biggest problem under Solskjaer, I think, is getting to these important games and then blowing it. Or not necessarily blowing it, but just not being good enough, you know?
And I think having, like I said, like, also this is another reason why I like Cavani around, is that he's really experienced. Like, Mason Greenwood is going to learn a lot from Cavani. Like, Cavani has scored a lot of goals. Like, these things are good. While Cavani is scoring goals still for us, granted, he's more productive than you know, like, Mata and, you know, Matic, like we were talking about earlier, but... you know, these guys are important to have around, you know?
Yeah.
So they're going to learn a lot while they're there, but it's a puzzle piece, dude. I hope it happens, dude.
Yeah.
I think we're too slow in business for it to happen, but I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I think everybody just goes to PSG.
They got Donnarumma this summer. They got Gini Wijnaldum from Liverpool. I'm not really sure they can spend much more than that, though, because they still have, you know, the financial commitment they made to Mbappe and Neymar the last 2 or 3 years ago or whatever. That's kind of hindered their ability to spend more because they're still trying to follow the rules or whatever.
They're under a microscope, dude.
Yeah, they can't just drop another 300 million on someone. Although, you know, they've got Pochettino. Maybe that's another destination for Harry Kane. Who knows? Think about that front three and how, like, weird it would look. Mbappe, Neymar, and Harry Kane. Right?
Oh, I'm just here to score goals.
So players that we think are leaving, think should leave. We've already talked about Phil Jones. Yeah. Jesse Lingard, we talked about him a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's time. I think Jess knows it's time.
And I think he's happier at West Ham. It seems like he was just enjoying his football again in a way that he wasn't at United the past couple seasons. And I thought it was really
fun. It's the pressure. It's the pressure.
Jesse Lingard is good. He's so much fun to watch. Like, when he's on it.
He really is.
Yeah.
I just think that United is hard to play for, dude. Straight up. Like, eventually, he has a good season. It's hard to do it again. Yeah.
He's been here since he was a child. I mean, you know, sometimes you just need change.
Yeah, 100%.
Another one, coming back on loan, who, you know, frequent listeners will know my mentioning of him is not always positive, but Andres Pereira, I think,
Oh yeah, that's right.
Lazio, but
I'll take the L on that one, bro. I'll take the L on that one.
Yeah, if we can find a buyer for him, that would be cool.
We'll just find someone to just take him. Like, we'll just pay you. Just like,
yeah,
just take him. Like, like, just go. Just get out of here, dude.
And then another one that I wanted to put to you, just because we've both been kind of defenders of him in the past, but I think it's gotten to a point now where I'm just ready for him to leave. Eric Bailly. I don't really think that he's played well under Solskjaer. He doesn't really fit next to Lindelof or Maguire that well when he fills in. He's a liability at times. More importantly, he's not available most of the time because he's hurt.
Yeah, I like him. I could see where you're going with that. I don't disagree with you. I'm still worried about overall center back depth a little bit, but
I think maybe that would push our, you know, hand a little bit more in that area to spend on a center back. That happened.
Yeah.
Or, you know, he used to play for Villarreal and they like him there. Maybe try to use him in a swap deal or something.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. I don't know. I'm worried about center back depth because the way that the Glazers work, I'm worried that we sell him and then don't replace him. You know, but I mean, and that's something else to deal with. Another hypothetical to deal with, I guess, but getting some of these like the imperfections out of the team, to be blunt. But what would we say, Phil Jones? I mean, Matic.
I've got one more, if we can
change the contracts of Mata and Matic and they're still around, I'm cool with that. But otherwise, I'm like, I don't, you know, like I said, they're cool to have around. Exactly. Yes. Because they both get paid a lot of money. Like, let's be real. That's what we're all talking about. And that's what the Glazers are thinking about because they're businessmen. So
someone else, I guess my last one that also makes a lot of wages and I think it's probably time to go. And this one makes me really sad because, you know, as long as we've done this podcast, really as long as we've been able to watch this team together, this guy has been the best player by far.
I know you're going to say.
But, yeah, David De Gea, I think.
I don't really know if I agree with you.
Yeah?
I don't really know if I agree with you. I think that you got to make a decision. I don't know if that's the right one. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying I even disagree. I just, like, I can't make that decision.
Yeah, like, and Dean Henderson hasn't, like, won the job in my mind yet, but...
Me neither, and that's why I'm not convinced.
His contract is a lot more friendly, and Dean Henderson has also played pretty well.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe this gives him confidence, giving him the number one, like, letting him know that he won that battle.
Yes, but if I'm being real, I think you fucked De Gea by bringing Dean Henderson in the first place.
I'm not so sure because I
think so.
I get the sense that David De Gea might need a change of scenery anyway. He's been at this club since he was 19.
I think goalkeepers are built different. I don't know. That might be my opinion. If he wants to go, then you know, let him go. I want him to go if he wants to go.
Yeah,
I don't want to make him a slave to the club. That sounds awful.
Yeah.
No one wants that because he's also, you'd just not be happy. He wouldn't perform, whatever. But I don't know if I agree with that.
Yeah.
Just because of how I don't know, man, when it's special, dude, like David De Gea is a special player, man. Like, and to me, like, I have to think about it so much more when something like that comes up. It's hard, dude. It's really hard.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing for me is that he's like a top five highest paid player in the Premier League right now. Like he's up there with Kevin De Bruyne and, you know, I guess Aubameyang is up there after his last contract and like Raheem Sterling, Harry Kane, he's getting paid a ton of money to not really produce near the same level that he used to.
But I also don't think Dean is producing. I also think it's the pressure of the United I forget who it was. I don't know if it was like it was some YouTube channel. They had a interview with I can't remember his name now. God, English goalkeeper. He was like the number two. He was like the number three at United, and then like number two for a lot of other people played for Watford.
Ben Foster.
Yes, Ben Foster. Thank you. So I was listening to an interview with Ben Foster, and I was listening to him talk about this, like the Dean De Gea thing. And dude, I don't know, like that was fascinating. I guess he has a YouTube channel. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm gonna shout him out a little bit, but like that's pretty cool. But he was talking very, very like weirdly openly for a player that's like still playing football around. Like it's just weird to hear him talk about it. But he says, I think he went with De Gea, or he said the same thing. Like or he, I have the same perspective he does. Like I think he messed up. I think United messed up and Ollie messed up by bringing Dean in, because when you're the number one, like, and this is what he said, and I like I haven't been a keeper, so I don't know, especially in the Premier League, so I don't know. But like when you're the number one, you want to know you're the number one.
Yep.
You know, like,
But I think
and I think that's got a lot to do with that, because for a while it's like, oh, I've done this thing for you for so long, and now you don't trust me. Don't get me wrong, I could get a vibe that De Gea would want to leave for that reason, but I mean, I think it was kind of United that pushed him to that. And at this point, I can't necessarily, I can't, that's what I'm saying, I can't disagree or agree with you, but I could see it happening. Maybe not this summer, but I mean.
I think that Ollie's time get like to try that approach of reinforcement was his first summer, because he got rid of, all those rumors that they were looking for another goalkeeper. It was the summer of 2018 when they brought in Harry Maguire and Aaron Wan-Bissaka. So you improve that defense drastically. That defense dropped from conceding 60 goals to 30 something goals that season. You got him a really good center back that controls the defense. You got him an elite right back. You give him this contract extension that makes him one of the highest paid players in the Premier League. I think at the time he signed it, he did become the highest paid player in the Premier League. But I think Kevin De Bruyne has signed a contract since then that made him the highest. But at the beginning of that season, Ollie put that trust in him. And what he got out of it was just more uncertainty over the future. And you got those bad performances late, in the FA Cup when he conceded those goals against Chelsea. There were times in the Premier League where he looked a little bit clueless and he would let the ball through his hands. Just continuing this sort of trend of David De Gea mistakes that seems so out of character for him. And I think that's really the influencer in the decision to bring back Dean Henderson. But also, by bringing back Dean Henderson and giving Dean Henderson a contract, you also put in that potential for a buyout clause. And teams that would be interested in Dean Henderson in the future, that also leaves that option for them to sell him for a little bit more value than they probably would have had to settle for if they just wanted to sell him on his initial promotion contract.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So I think the sentimentality for me is a little bit gone now,
Oh, for De Gea.
but I mean, when if it'll be when David De Gea leaves Manchester United, there's going to be justified celebration of his career there, because he's been arguably our best goalkeeper of all time.
Yeah.
He obviously doesn't have the trophy cabinet of Van der Sar or Schmeichel, and I
Right.
think those two will still pip him in the history
Right.
books.
Because trophies.
Yeah, but I mean, David De Gea was an outstanding goalkeeper. Like
Dude, the
for
double save against Arsenal, dude. Seriously, one of
yeah.
the most freak saves I've ever seen in my entire life, dude.
Yeah. For a decade, he was probably the best goalkeeper in the Premier League every single season. He didn't always get that recognition at the end of the year in the team of the season, but I would put him against any other goalkeeper in the Premier League from probably 2012 to 2018, 19, something like that. I mean, he won our player of the year probably four times, which is, it says something about how our outfielders were doing at that time as well. But I mean, he was just incredible to watch.
Oh man. Yeah, I mean, I get where you're coming from. I get where you're coming from, and I can't disagree, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird. I do think
Yeah.
a decision needs to be made. I just can't make it.
Yeah.
Like
That's
even if you
probably.
made me and like forced me, like I just like that's one thing I just can't do.
And it's such a big decision that it's going to be one of the defining decisions of Solskjaer as manager. You know, it's going to be tough for him, but you know, that comes with the job.
100%.
Yeah.
So who do you actually think we get in?
I think we do get Jadon Sancho. I think that's drug on too long for us to not try to see it out.
But I feel like the buzz has definitely been taken out of the transfer.
The buzz was taken out last summer for me at least. I
Yeah,
mean,
100%.
it just took so long, and now it's like it's still tedious, but it's like all the updates are the same, so you know that nothing's actually happening yet. I think they're probably waiting until the Euros are a little bit further along to try and finalize things. Because, I mean, he is in England camp right now, so the only people they could probably talk with are Borussia Dortmund and maybe his agent.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I do think we get Jadon Sancho. I think we get a midfielder as well. And probably a center back. So three players. And I don't know who would fit those positions. I mean, we talked about that a little bit at the beginning of the episode. I'm not really sure if Pau Torres is the guy I would want to go with, but you know, there's not a whole lot of options out there, I think, that are instant fixes or that are like, we should definitely get that guy the way that Jadon Sancho is. Like, Jadon Sancho is just a perfect fit for our system in that position. And I think the other ones, there are a lot more question marks about.
Yeah, I mean, it's gotta happen. If it doesn't happen, it's just like at this point, it's like, all right, what's going on? So I agree, like it's gonna happen. So it's like, all right, so what next? It's kind of like a Varane would be cool, Pau Torres would be cool, you know, like I don't know what Ollie wants. Like I want Ollie to get what he wants, but I also kind of like want us to get what we want, you know, like I had to be a little selfish, like
Yeah.
but
I mean, you always want that in a transfer. You want to be excited about it. And you know, I think that's another thing with these positions that like a holding midfielder and a central defender that you know, they're not exactly glamour positions.
no, they're not. But you know what? They're really, really freaking important.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I think if we could get N'Golo Kanté, that'd be cool. But that's not
Oh, man.
happening.
God, would that be cool? I've wanted that guy for so long, dude.
Although it is at the point now where he's, you know, the age that Nemanja Matic was when we bought him, so who knows?
Oh,
And
God.
there's a ton of mileage on those legs.
Yeah, they're all, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm yeah, but I mean I'd take him still.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be honest though, I Declan Rice, like my ideal but like I think doable summer is like Jadon Sancho, Declan Rice. I don't really care, Varane, Pau Torres, somebody of higher caliber center back insert here. And then, you know, I mean at this point a backup goalkeeper. We're gonna get rid of a guy.
Well, we already brought in
Yeah, and
Tom
yeah,
Heaton.
he's like ancient, isn't he?
Yeah, but he'll be the backup guy. He's good enough. I mean, he started for a Premier League team within the last 2 years.
Yeah,
He's
I
like
mean, yeah, no, I'm it's not
30,
that. It's just
35,
like
36.
it just sucks that like it could have been like we kept Sergio Romero and just made a decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, Sergio Romero is not going to extend. Pretty sure of
No,
that.
definitely.
All right. I think that's going to do it for us, unless you had more closing thoughts.
Nah, I think that's about all I had. It's just, you know, we can talk about stuff when stuff happens.
Yeah. That's the way the transfer window goes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. I've been Colin.
I haven't met you.